This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Les Roberts, writes two series of detective novels, and the two detectives lead very different lives. One, Milan Jakovic, is an ex-cop of Slovenian descent who works the streets of Cleveland. The other detective, Saxon, is a part-time actor who handles cases in Los Angeles. That's territory Les Roberts is very familiar with. He lived in L.A. for 24 years. Before he wrote detective novels, he had a short career as an actor, then wrote for television, including The Lucy Show, The Andy Griffith Show, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., The Jackie Gleason Show, and Hollywood Squares. Now Les Roberts lives in Milan Jakovic's territory, Cleveland. Roberts has a new novel in the Jakovic series called The Lake Effect. I asked Les Roberts to describe the character of Milan Jakovic.
Well, Milan Jakovic is a first-generation American. He has a master's degree from Kent State University. He is an ex-MP. He was in Vietnam, in Cameron Bay. He's an ex-Cleveland cop, and because he doesn't like saluting and shining his shoes, he gave up the police department and became a private investigator. He basically runs an industrial security service, but for the purposes of the books, he generally gets mixed up in things that are somewhat uglier and more dangerous.
Now, how does he, a Slovenian private investigator in Cleveland, relate to you, a former actor and TV writer-producer who spent many years in L.A.?
Well, I love Cleveland. And I'm a Midwesterner by birth. I'm from Chicago. And I really much more relate to the Midwest, to its weather, to its architecture, to its ethics, and to its people than I do. I was always a fish out of water in Los Angeles, despite the fact that I was out there for 24 years. So I really wanted to capture that sense of the Midwestern, that sense of the children of immigrants.
Are you the children of immigrants?
No. Well, my father was born in England, but that's not the kind of immigrant I mean. People from, Eastern Europe, Central Europe.
Why did you make Milan Slovenian when you created him? Was there already a war in the Balkans?
No, there wasn't. I started the Jakovic series, started writing it in 1987. I made him Slovenian because when I decided to set the series here in Cleveland, I wanted a detective who was, I felt, representative of Cleveland. And there are so many people here of Eastern European extraction, Slovenians, Serbians, Croatians, Ukrainians, Lithuanians, Poles, Germans, etc. And so I felt that having a white bread guy named Frank Wilson, that could have been anywhere. I wanted somebody who was uniquely Cleveland.
So what parts of you are in Milan, in Cleveland, and what parts of you are in Saxon, your actor, private investigator in Los Angeles?
Well, Saxon probably looks more like I do.
Which is?
Well, he's younger, tougher, and thinner than I am, but he has prematurely gray hair. He has a certain degree of sophistication, which I guess I developed after 24 years in L.A. in the movie and TV business. He, like me, drinks single malt whiskey. He likes jazz. We tend to be attracted to the same type of woman. So all of that is, in Saxon, is that part of me. Milan, although he is certainly bigger than I am, I never played football as he did, and also younger. Milan is very, very loyal to his friends, as I am. Milan is divorced and his kids are growing up across town. He only sees them on the weekends. That is very much what happened to me. And I think that we share the same kind of morality, the same kind of value system.
Well, I'd like you to read an excerpt of one of the Saxon novels. This is your L.A. detective. And mm-hmm. The novel I'll ask you to read an excerpt of is The Lemon Chicken Jones. And, while Milan deals with the mob, Saxon is in L.A. dealing with washed-up comics.
That's right.
So in this story, his client is a washed-up comic whose new wife has run away or disappeared. We don't know what the story is at the beginning.
Right.
So this part introduces us to the washed-up comic.
His name is Nappy Kane, and he comes to Saxon's office, and he says, "Nappy, call me Nappy, everybody does. What do I know from investigators?" he said, making it a very dirty word. "I know laughs, I know jokes. This," He shrugged as he looked around my office like it was a sewer in Beirut. That hurt my feelings. Saxon Investigations is nothing fancy, but it's not exactly Skid Row either. Look, I came here because Alex suggested it, but I don't like it. It makes me feel like a sleaze. I ignored the gratuitous swipe. I know it's never pleasant to hire an investigator, but it's probably going to help you in the long run, I told him. Just think of me as your dentist. One hand flickered up to cover his bad bridge work. What do you mean by that? What? The dentist business. Is that supposed to be a crack? Listen, you start trading cracks with me, I'll bury you. Don't think I can't. Milton, Rickles, Fat Jack, they all tried to spritz with me and they lived to regret it. Now I got to take cracks from a guy wearing a little $5 number he bought at Tie City? He put his fat cigar back between his fat lips, but it had gone out, so he relit it with a knockoff Dunhill lighter you could buy off a blanket on a New York street for $10. And my tie happened to be a $25 Jeffrey Bean, which shows you what Nappy Kane knew.
I bet you knew a lot of Nappy Canes in Hollywood.
Hundreds of them. I used to produce the Hollywood Squares.
Yes, and they were all in Hollywood Squares.
They were all on Hollywood Squares, and some of them were my very good friends. Kind of an affectionate poke at them.
Did you write lines for them?
Oh, yeah. I wrote lines for all of them.
So those weren't really improvisations on Hollywood Squares?
More than half of them were not. We wanted to ensure that we never gave them the answers to the questions, but we wrote the jokes for them. We wanted to make sure it was a funny show.
Who were the regulars that you wrote for on Hollywood Squares?
Well, let's see. The years I did it were the first 3 years on the air. Paul Lind, Wally Cox, whom I adored, Charlie Weaver, who was like a father to me, Rosemary, Abby Dalton, and Maury Amsterdam. Those were the core people. And then there were an awful lot of people who were semi-regulars. Jan Murray did the show a lot. Alan and Rossi did the show a lot. Vincent Price. I'm getting depressed. A lot of these people are no longer with us. But they were the semi-regulars. But Paul, Wally, Charlie, Abby, and Rosemary were the regulars.
Les Roberts is my guest. He writes two series of detective novels featuring detectives Milan Yakovich in Cleveland and Saxon in L.A. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Back with detective novelist Les Roberts. In one of your Saxon novels, Saxon is the L.A. detective, you write, mm-hmm. Celebrity in the United States is a curious thing. Once you've attained celebrity, it becomes permanent, like a tattoo in the middle of your face. People like Zsa Zsa Gabor are stars because they are. They don't have to do anything. Their business is celebrityhood. And then later on, you write, there's nothing sadder than a show business has been. And when you were in television, you must have been working with a lot of celebrities whose job was celebrityhood, and also a lot of celebrity has-beens as well.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the sad things about it is they never realize that they're finished. Even though they're not getting the big roles, they're not getting the big television shows, that they're speaking at industrial parties and opening supermarkets, they still are walking around waiting, you know, for their agent to call with that big Oscar or Emmy-winning role, because people treat them as celebrities. Nobody says, hey, pal, you're a has-been. They say, I remember when you used to be on such and such a show from 1962. And they say, oh, yeah, and well, you know, I'm considering other offers. They never realize that. And, you know, one of the offers they're considering is to get out of my office and don't ever call here again. They don't realize it. And I think that this is a very sad thing that we do with our celebrities here. You know, if you look at the regulars on television shows now, so very, very few of them were around 10 years ago because they keep looking for new blood. And the people who were stars 10 years ago or 15 years ago can't get themselves arrested anymore.
So what was the transition for you from writing for television to writing detective novels?
A film producer, or a would-be film producer, came to me several years ago, and he said that he had, and this is a very common Hollywood scenario, he said that he had two women from Israel who had a lot of money and they wanted to invest in a movie, and he said, we want to do, quote, an old-fashioned private eye movie like Casablanca, unquote. And I didn't have the heart to tell him that, you know, Casablanca is not a private eye movie, so I came up with a story, which... which he loved and they loved, and they wanted me to direct the picture and they wanted me to be in the picture, except I said, is this the face of somebody who beats people up in parking lots? And they wanted to do everything except pay me. So I said, well, I'm going to go home and write this and take it elsewhere. You know, what do I need with you? So I started writing the screenplay, and some little bird perched on my shoulder and said, this is a book, do a book. And that book became An Infinite Number of Monkeys, which was my first novel, which won the Best First Private Eye Novel Contest from Private Eye Writers of America. And my career began. But while I was writing it, I realized that books is what I should have been writing my entire life long. I love the process much more than writing television or film.
So you started off with Saxon, and then you developed Mylan. What got you to Cleveland?
I came to Cleveland to produce a game show for the Ohio Lottery, to create and produce a game show. And when I came here, I'd never been here before, and all I knew about Cleveland was the bad jokes that you used to hear. And I got here, and I fell in love with the place, and really resonated to it, so much so that 4 years later, I moved here permanently. And while I was here doing the show, I went to New York, and I was having lunch with my publisher, Tom Dunn, and he said, we'd like you to get another series going besides the Saxon series, but don't set it in Los Angeles, and don't set it in New York, because everybody does that, in San Francisco and Chicago. And I said, well, you've just named every place I've ever been in my life. And I said, how about Cleveland? And he said, wow, what a great idea. So I came back to Cleveland to finish the show, and I started looking at Cleveland with what I call the writer's eye. I started making notes and driving through the neighborhoods and trying to get the feel of the city. It's a unique city, and it's a wonderful city. As I say, I love the architecture, and I love the people, and I love the spirit of the city. And so I've tried to capture all that and get it in the books.
So you're living in Cleveland, where one of your series is set. Do you live in the same neighborhood that your detective does?
I live in the same neighborhood, but not in the same on the same corner, which everybody here asks me. he has an apartment. I have a house. Uh-huh. But it's about a mile away, I guess.
What do you think your two detectives would think of each other if they met?
Well, they know each other. They've talked on the phone. I think they would probably like each other because they both have a sense of right and wrong and a sense of morality. But I'm asked a lot why I don't do a book with both of them. And I always say, well, where am I going to do it? Because if Mylan, who is really so Midwestern and so honest and blue-collar despite his education, if he went out to Hollywood, those piranhas would have the flesh off him in strips. And if Saxon ever came to Cleveland and went into one of the ethnic taverns on St. Clair Avenue where Mylan hangs out, and he wore his sunglasses and he wore his gold chains and his Hollywood attitude, they would probably beat the stuffing out of him and throw him in the alley. So I think they would like each other, but I don't think they would be terribly good friends.
Mylan is divorced,
mm-hmm.
and he gets to see the kids every other weekend. He has two
yep.
sons. You're divorced as well, as I believe.
Yes.
What are some of the feelings from your own divorce that you wanted to explore through Mylan?
Well, certainly not being able to see the children as much as I wanted to, although my ex-wife and I are very good friends. She's one of the best people in the world. So there was never any using the children as weapons. I mean, I could see them whenever I wanted to. But the fact of the matter was that they were going to school. They needed a certain structure. They needed a certain routine. So I wound up seeing my son, who was 9 at the time of my divorce, every Sunday and every Tuesday evening. And my daughter, who was a teenager, I caught when I was able to. And sure, that was very painful. It was very peculiar to walk up the walk of what used to be my house, where my children live, and have to ring the doorbell. And I tried to convey all this in Mylan's relationship with Lila and with his boys.
In the acknowledgments to your new novel, which is set in Cleveland, you thank Mylan Yakovich, DDS,
yes,
and Diana Yakovich, Montagino,
yes,
Did you just get the name from Milan Jakovic?
Is this person
actually the inspiration for the character?
No, he's not an inspiration for the character. He was a dentist, is a dentist, mm-hmm. and has become a friend. Mm-hmm. I met his sister when I was in Cleveland, Diana Jakovic Matagino, and we got to talking, and I got to talking about the book that I wanted to write, and she mentioned that she was from a Serbian family, and that her maiden name was Jakovic, and she mentioned that she had two brothers, Bob and Milan, and I thought Milan Jakovic was the best ethnic name that I had ever heard, and I said, do you think he'd mind if I used his name as my detective? And she said, probably not, but he's not a detective, he's a dentist. And he is now one of Cleveland's most famous dentists, I'm happy to say.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us.
Terry, thank you so much.
Les Roberts writes two series of detective novels. His new novel, The Lake Effect, features his Cleveland-based detective, Milan Jakovic. This is Fresh Air.